back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. My very special guest today is a Kiwi by the name of Peter Martin. Peter, welcome to the program.
How are you? Thank you very
somewhat
much.
Somewhat fabulous.
That's good.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. So, I suppose you want to know a little bit about me?
Sure.
Okay, I'm sort of like the registrar of a movement that's really kind of trying to balance the power systems up a bit. You know, I guess I call myself a sovereign human, and I'm part of a international organisation of the same name as myself, and I'm also the registrar of Te Wakamenenga o Te Hapu Nuturini International, which is a group of like-minded individuals who are trying to really just decode the law and see how that fits into the conspiracy and the illusion that we're sort of all living under. It's a huge picture. I mean, we all know how big it is. It's enormous, and it's very hard to cover every single area of it in a small little segment. But I like to focus on the way that the illusion is put to us. Because, you know, people think, you know, illusion. I look around, I see the world, there's no illusion. But it's kind of a trick, you know, that they, for a long time, a lot of people in the know, I guess, I don't know, we bandy about names, I don't like to use them personally, but a group of people have known how the physiology of a human being works and how we actually construct the world that we think is reality. And so, like, I like to try and focus on that. Although I have, you know, I'm in the process of legal battles and I'm trying to be on the front of forwarding the rights in certain government departments for individuals, including Work and Income New Zealand. So, like I said, it's a big thing, and it's like the military-industrial complex that we all heard about from the end of the war, the Second World War, is actually growing much larger now, as we probably all know, and it's a military, industrial, medical, media complex. And it's just growing larger and larger. And I guess it's really good to have people like American Freedom Radio that are just sort of putting out a little bit of information on the other side of things.
Like informants in a battleground or spies or something like that, a propaganda platform.
Yeah, well, it is and it isn't. You know, the media works in a way that creates images that you have in your mind, that you get ideas about, societal holograms, I call them. You know, you watch television and you get some sort of an idea about what you think your life should be like and what your family should be like, you know, that kind of thing. And what they do is, human beings, there's a huge process. I mean, obviously, we're really complex organisms, and without a doubt, the human mind is the most complexly organised form of matter that we know of. So you can't really try and encapsulate it in one little thing. But, you know, really what's happened is, since, well, as far as I can trace, it's been all the way back since Babylonian times. So that's, you know, several thousand years. People have known how we build our worlds inside, and what we've done is, because we don't realise that in our experience of the world we go around, we are making a copy of that world inside our mind. So, you know, when you see something, like any object, it's hard, you know, anything, right? Light bounces off it and it goes into your eyes, where it's focused, you know, through the lens, and it hits the back of your retina and it penetrates it into the rods and cones inside there, and through watery salts and various energy transformations, it's converted into a bioelectrical signal that travels into your brain. But that's the end of the light. You know, it doesn't exist from that point on. It's only existent as a hologram, a representation in your mind that you then cast outside yourself and map onto what your eyes are seeing. Now, the really important thing about that is that all of your emotions and your previous experience and that allow you to see that image the way that it is. And because most of us don't know about this internal world that we have inside us, we don't really try to maintain it at all. And so what's happened is somebody's subverted it, somebody's hijacked it, and now we're little images of someone else, not ourselves.
Can I say something? Does this have anything to do with the relations to the people who are really paranoid, don't trust people, and basically you do something that reminds them of somebody else who screwed them over, and so they screw you over?
Yeah, that's kind of what it is. You know, we always tar everybody else with our brush, if you know what I mean. A thief always thinks people are stealing off him, and, you know, a cheater always thinks people are cheating. But that's because we build our experience of the world, you know, over time as we go along. And what happens is, I don't know, do you know much about the creation of television, how it came about, and the people that made it?
Not a hell of a lot. I thought that it was Nazi Germany who managed to do the first television broadcast, I think.
They did do that. The guy who actually invented the concept and the design was a guy called John Logie Baird, the Scotsman. But he was a member of the Psi Society, okay? And they were actually trying to make a device to communicate with the spirit world. And John Logie Baird accidentally discovered or invented television that way. So it's actually a really kind of a strange device anyway, and it's been a long-known fact that when a human being's watching television, if you took an EEG of their brain pattern at that time, it would be exactly the same wave pattern as if you're in REM sleep, dreaming. So basically when you sit there watching television, it's putting you into a dream world, and that dream world is the basis of your waking world, if you know what I mean.
So it's kind of like hypnotism. The way I've understood it is that there's certain amounts of frames per second that you see, and the refresh rate on the screen, however, is different from the frame rate. And they make sure that the image is refreshed just slightly more than the brain is capable of processing consciously. So instead of having alpha waves, which are your fully conscious, analytical, mathematical mind, that kind of thing, watching television, it instead turns that off and switches it into beta waves, which are more the suggestible, emotional sort of things. Essentially, it mind controls you.
Yeah, well, and so that's what I'm saying. You know, basically, we've sat there watching television since we were small children, and what's happened is it's created what I like to call societal holograms. And we think the world has to work this way because, and it's reinforced in every facet of our lives. You know, you go to school and they teach you the same thing. You know, it's not really education more than indoctrination, if you know what I mean. Why do they call them programs on TV? I mean, you know. Why is it programming? They don't even hide it. They say, oh, it's programming for the masses. Well, it's exactly what it is. So basically, you know, we go around creating our own reality. It's kind of like, the best way I can describe it, because it's a really complex thing, is it's we're in a waking dream, and the dream exactly matches the world that your eyes detect. How about that? So, but that dream world that you've constructed based on your reality is actually really a replica of the things that you believe that you've learned from school and television, you know, which may or may not be true. And there's definitely one thing we can say about the information that we've gained now is that in the future it will be proven to be false. And if you look through history, that's always been the case. It's an emergent society that's not really, you know, fully established. We don't really know everything.
I love people who do think that they know everything, though.
Yeah. How's that for amazing?
Yeah. And you notice that they're the most highly educated. And in my opinion, the word education is synonymous with indoctrination. So basically, the only people who know that, who think that they know everything are the people who are most heavily indoctrinated by the system.
That's right. And they're the ones that are most likely to reject anything that doesn't actually fit into their worldview.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a really strange world we live in. You know, like David Icke and all those guys are right, mate. It's completely reversed, upside down.
Yeah. So, I remember when I was a young man, Peter, and I thought that cops were honest. I thought that politicians try to do the best thing for the country. I thought that local councils and boards were there to listen to the people. I thought that television was there to educate and enlighten people. You know, none of these things are true. None of them.
Doesn't seem like it.
You know, really isolated incidents are, yes, true, but the vast majority of it is just one big fracking lie.
And it's kind of perspective shaping, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a classic one in New Zealand, we have to laugh at this. The whole Tamaiti Uruwera incident, how, you know, that big incident went down, the media played it up hard. The next day, the Terrorism Suppression Act was passed. Then the day after that, it was found out that they were just, you know, a bunch of guys playing cowboys and Indians, mate, and Tamaiti's flying off to London to do a documentary.
I had Tame, it's pronounced Tame, like, you know, rubbing your tame, on the show twice. And what surprised me is that he knows about the New World Order and he knows about the false terrorism plots and all of that kind of stuff. He knows about false flag terrorism. Incidentally, somebody who knows about these things winds up becoming the victim of such things.
Yeah, well, you know. There'll always be stories about that too, you know. But, you know, there are a few truths, I guess, you know. The world is something that you make it, I guess. And I like to say this, you know, I create reality. It's my will projected that defines what is real. My mind's eye manifests. And it's because what I'm actually seeing is a recreation of the world that I've mapped onto the objects that I see. I kind of like to bring out the hermetic thing of correspondence, the law of correspondence, or whatever you want to call it. And it says, you know, as within, so without. The world outside is a reflection of the world that you have inside, and the world inside is a reflection of the world outside. And it's kind of that relationship. And that's why it's so suggestible with the television and that. You know, when you watch the television, it's putting you into that beta mode and you're all relaxed and the information's going in, it's forming the holograms that you then identify things with. You know, say you see something that you've never seen before, you always relate it back immediately to something that looks similar to it, you know. You see a flying object in the sky and you go, oh, it looked like a ball that was changing from red to white, you know, because you have no hologram inside your mind to be able to actually describe that. And so that's why the television and the schooling systems and that sort of thing are really more about, dare I say it, rewarding complacency and lackluster behaviour and not thinking. You know, it's easier to just go off to work, you know, do your job, come home, flip the TV on, have a couple of beers, whatever, you know, and go to bed, get ready to do it the next day, you know. It's actually kind of mindless, the whole idea. In fact, the Dalai Lama said that busyness, keeping yourself busy, was really the devil because it stops you thinking about things. Contemplation and, thought and trying to work things out is going to save the world, not, you know, going to work and producing things.
Have you ever heard the phrase "idle hands are the devil's plaything"?
I have heard that, but that sounds like that might have been put out by guys who want us to work.
Yeah, that was what occurred to me as you were saying that.
Yeah. So, you know, this illusion is really I guess it's the best way to describe it is we're in a war for the minds of all the inhabitants of Earth, a war of worldviews, if you wish, and, you know, concepts like freedom and equality and that sort of thing doesn't really exist because we're not actually who we really are. We're actually copies of someone else's idea of what we should be.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about this, you know, and this is a thought that occurs to me every now and again. Am I thinking with thoughts that are my own?
Where am I?
Yeah, you know, like, did I originate these thoughts that I'm thinking right now in my head, or am I simply copying and interpreting what somebody else has said and just going along with it? You know, I constantly question that.
Well,
because I don't know if you don't, who knows what kind of other people's concepts you might be flown away with. Unfortunately, Peter, we've come to a break now, so we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Peter Martin from New Zealand. Back in a tick.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen.
I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo.
Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live 5 days a week, 2 hours a day on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And also, if you happen to be in the island chained nation of New Zealand, that's the local pronunciation. There is a radio station in Whanganui, with or without an H, called DAGSY FM 88.0, in Hamilton, Raglan, and soon to be Tauranga, Rush FM 87.7. And incidentally, and I only just found this out yesterday, a pure coincidence, in Southland, Ifinity FM network is also on 87.7 FM. So if you're in the South, Ifinity at 87.7. If you're in the mid-north or whatever, you know, and these radio stations and their links are on the homepage of the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And if you know of a low-power FM or even a powerful FM that wants to, basically have the guts, the real guts and gusto to play this show, send them to me. Ask them to contact me. I'm not that difficult to get a hold of. Believe me, because this show really does need to be everywhere throughout this country and everywhere throughout the world because, well, basically, the guests are international, you know, from all over the place. And have you noticed, no matter how different the topics are, no matter how different the people are, we're all really in agreement about one thing. We don't want to be fucking slaves anymore.
That's it.
Right, now, there's another thing. I wanted to give a quick plug to Blue Shield as well. Haven't been selling too many of those, and I wanted to encourage people to get them because look at it this way. They're not cheap, okay? Admittedly, they're not cheap. They're about $100 each, depending on what you're purchasing. I've got a little one that hangs around my neck, and I've also got a plug-in one that's next to the computer so I don't get, you know, bathed in EMF radiation the whole time while I'm doing the show every day and working away on the archives and what have you. And I was wondering whether or not they worked. And my mate Dan said to me, you know, Vinny, why don't you just unplug it for a week? And I was like, hey, you know what? That's a good idea. Let's do a test, you know, let's see if it works. And my God, the headaches and my rage and just feeling sick and really, really exhausted and stuff like that. I think within 2 hours or something of unplugging it, just kind of came down on me really, really harshly, and getting through that week was just pure difficulty. You know, that was what it was like. It was just difficult to survive, difficult to think, difficult to maintain my cool, and nothing else had changed other than unplugging that blue shield. And then I plugged it back in, headaches went away, the exhaustion disappeared, and my rage came under control. It really does work. Unequivocally. And $100 for something that gives you a 15-meter radius that protects your whole home in order to stop that from happening to you? I didn't even notice that I was like that until the blue shield gone. And that's how they work, really. You plug them in first off, you don't notice a difference at all until you unplug them. All right, we really are living under this crap of EMF radiation the whole time. The whole time. It is inescapable. And now they've got smart meters on everybody's fracking property and all of that kind of stuff, bathing you in that stuff as well. This stuff works, okay? Even a friend of mine, Gordy, who's a part of the Zeitgeist movement, you know those people, I don't know if anybody's ever had friends like this, but there'll be people who are really technically skilled, and there'll be one room in their house that is an absolute bomb site. Like, it's a mess. They've got computer parts and a scientific gear and welding torches and goodness knows what everywhere, because they're just really, really onto it. People have got all those devices, right? And he had this device that was an electronic reading device, okay? So you point it, it's got a little electrode on it, and you point it at whatever, and it'll give off a sound corresponding to however much electricity is running through that thing. And just in the air, you know, we're just pointing it in the air, just in general, and it was like, pointed it to just a piece of metal, just a piece of metal, you know, nothing wrong with it or nothing plugged into it. Plugged it onto a computer screen that was on. Plugged it onto a blue shield, even while the light was flashing, and it's like nothing. Nothing. It really is the ultimate in New Zealand engineering as far as I have seen. And the guys down there, they're even testing them on cows. And preliminary tests have seen that even the cows produce 10% more milk when they're wearing blue shields around their neck as a collar. All right? Why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free, I say? All right. Enough with the plugging. Although it is, we're going to go back to my very special guest now, Peter Martin. Welcome back, my friend.
How are you? Right. So anyway, I think we were talking about the education system. You know, I was just saying that was what school was, a method of, you know, programming you to be like a worker and not really think for yourself or anything. So anyway, what I did was I looked around on the internet and various other law libraries and things, and I was looking for how do they take this illusion thing and apply it? So how does it fit on us? And it's basically, you know, the law. The law does it. And so I looked at what the law was, and I found that it was actually just as much of an illusion as anything else. And if you actually have a look at it, there is nothing in it that indicates that a human being has to comply with it in any way. Now, what I did is I found, we've probably heard of these people, Robert Arthur Menard, and
I've had him on the show, yeah.
Yeah, Russell Perisky. And like, I ran my own business for maybe 10 or 15 years. I'm a computer programmer, IT sort of a guy. And so I created this IT business, and I found out that, well, the first thing I discovered was that the whole income tax thing was like a shell game. It actually really is just not really, I mean, it's just a load of crap, I'm sorry to say. But what I discovered, when you run a business, if you do everything properly and you look at how things work and you tailor your business to the right kind of thing, you end up not ever having to pay tax and you always get maximum benefits. And so I wondered in myself, you know, how is this possible when I'm running my own business and, you know, sure, I can't go and get a bank loan because I haven't made any profit, but, you know, like everything is taken care of, everything's all taken care of and I can do everything that I want. And I see the guy across the road from me who struggles doing like 16 or 18 hours a day and, you know, he's struggling to pay his power bill and struggling to pay his, you know, internet and stuff. And I wondered, you know, what the difference was. And it really is just an illusion. And so what I did was I found from those guys like Robert Menard and that a system of declarations and law documents that you could do based upon old law. But because old law, the old Roman style of doing things, is actually the basis of all of the westernized law, everything that was fit into the commercial code fitted straight into our law. And so what I found out is that you could take the documents which were produced in America for the Uniform Commercial Code, and then you could go and find enactments that were constructed in exactly the same way that belonged to your own country. And so what I did is I created the system of declarations and sent them off to the government and got an acknowledgement back from them. And basically what's happening is now I'm in the courts proving that the system of law that they created is in fact true and that I have created for myself using their own laws, a kind of a diplomatic immunity, if you wish. You know, the true meaning of sovereignty. And so I've been helping people out in the court and stuff for quite a while, but in New Zealand we have, you know, a high level of apathy and ignorance in the general frame of things, and so it wasn't very long before they trespassed me from the court. You know, think about how ridiculous that is. You know, I've never done anything aggressive, never done anything violent, all I do is speak, and they're trespassing me from the court, telling me that I'm not allowed to go down there and, you know, help people out. They're not allowed
You're literally not allowed to have access to justice. I love that.
Yeah. I thought that was part of your citizenship, you know, one of the fundamental things. So I don't have access to justice. They can call me there, but I can't go there and process. I've been precluded from my fundamental right as a citizen.
Have you tried committing a minor crime to see whether or not they'll actually try and get you in there?
Yeah, they did. I went down to the court to go as a witness for someone else, and they arrested me for willful trespass and resisting police. So there you go. And so now I'm in the process of battling that out with them in regards to the diplomatic immunity thing.
Whereabouts are you battling it out? Because if you trespass from court, how exactly are they going to prosecute you? I mean, do they hold like an open air, like a Christmas in the Park type court system for you?
What they do is when they know I'm coming, I get, you know, the full escort treatment. I get the security guards and all that, and they all come down and they usher me into the court, and then
thinking some other kind of escort, form of escort. But
I wish, but no, that wasn't like that at all. It was actually
the cops weren't wearing lipstick.
No lipstick. All serious, mate. Handcuffs and batons. So you know that's where we're at. You know, basically, there's a whole group of us in the Waka Meninga and various other people around me that now getting behind me, and we're really hard out trying to push this concept of diplomatic immunity I don't know how much, you've probably heard a lot of this sort of thing before about how the conspiracy itself is constructed in law with the birth certificate. Do you know about that sort of thing?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Maritime law and yeah, shipping manifest and that kind of thing. I mean,
yeah, right. So
the way I define it as we're property from birth and essentially we're livestock.
Exactly. You know, when you look in the law, the word deliver means to relinquish control or ownership of something. Why is it called a delivery room then?
And why is it called birthing as well? What do you do with ships when they come onto the land?
They birth. Okay. There's a certificate of manifest, which is your birth certificate, isn't it? Which is what they do down at the dock. And it's the dock tour. Why is it a dock tour? Why is it a birth canal? You know, all these things are indicative of the kind of deception and thing that they're doing behind it. So after they create that birth certificate and then create the bond, and then after 8 years, if you haven't written in to tell that you're still alive, they collect it under maritime salvage law. They then float it on the international market, and you know, countries that want to invest in New Zealand or whatever buy those sovereign bonds, and then when you turn 18, the tax money that you pay goes to pay back the loan that the government took in your name. So what I've done is I've found all this stuff out, and I've discovered that the birth certification actually is a kind of an incorporation. And so I've used that and made the Uniform Commercial Code filing and registered my name as a corporation there in America, which gives it what I'd say is international status. So, you know, even if you have a look at it, the way that they create the trust, which they put the money from the bond into, it's called a foreign situs trust, and it means that it's created under foreign law. So really, it's a foreign entity anyway, and that's why you have to pay tax, incidentally, is because you're a foreign entity on New Zealand sovereign soil, so you have to pay tax. But the international status then means that you fall into the diplomatic immunities and privileges. If you have an international, if you're an international or you're part of an international organisation, then you have international organisation status, which is defined in the Diplomatic Privileges and Immunities Act 1968.
Which basically means if you don't commit crimes like murder or theft or something like that, right. You can't be touched. You can't be given speeding tickets, parking tickets, nothing.
That's right. But, you know, like I'm still getting them. You know, like I drive around in a car that's... look, the Waka Meninga have, you know, in their own...
We're coming to break now, Peter.
Yep.
Hold that thought.
Yeah, sure.
All right. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, with Peter Martin. And I also wanted to kind of think about this. It's like so many of the people that are going through this process of becoming free and not having to pay the taxes, ironically, get harassed all the time by the authorities and are broke. We'll be right back.
Bonkers.
End of my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. I know like you're fighting sex and violence, and every baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but unless I let you give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free, and I'm just living my life. There's nothing crazy about me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Here, mate. Hello? looks like everybody's dropped off. Anyway, the Wakamininga people have discovered through their law systems that that they have the right to issue registrations and road certificates and stuff for people to be able to traverse the Queen's highways as such on New Zealand roads, whatever you want to call them. So,
all right, I'm back. Sorry.
No worries, mate.
Okay. Hate it when that happens. All right, well, anyway. What were we talking about over the break there? It was about how so many people in your position, right, who I have elected to basically want to now be free, what happens is you get bankrupted more or less by these people. You get harassed constantly by these people, and you don't feel free.
No, you don't feel free. But, you know, the truth of it is that, you know, it's always hard when the first few people start to do something, and it's easy when everyone's doing it, you know what I mean? And I guess some of us have decided that we just can't tolerate the kind of mindless behaviour that goes on. I mean, you just sit down and take stock for it for a second. You know, if you actually honestly look at things, you know, do you think that our way of life, the way that we live, is actually beneficial to humanity or the planet or anything? I mean, seriously, you know, all we seem to do is just rape and destroy and, you know, what's going on? You know, why is it like that? You know, so some of us just can't put up with that kind of thing anymore. You know, we know that if we don't do something, nothing will ever change. And like I always quote Buddha and stuff, you know, be the change you want to see in the world. You know, that's what we have to do. And so I'm walking the hard road at the moment, and I'm getting, you know, harassed every day, and, you know, like, I can't really find it easy to get it. I can only do contract work. I can't actually go and get a job because, you know, when you're fighting with the tax department and that, you know, you don't want to go and just automatically conform and have your employer, because he thinks he's obligated to take your tax out and give it to the government, you know. I'm tired of the government that we live under spending money, sending the police over to Afghanistan and, you know, grabbing people and selling them to America. Or what about the GCSB and their, you know, the whole GCSB thing? They're only created there to fulfil our international security or informational requirements with other countries like America. You know, and it's just craziness. And so, like, I just can't put up with it anymore, so I have to stand up and say, no more. And I'm engaging all of the people that I encounter in government departments and the enforcement officers and stuff on the street. I'm engaging them on this level, and I'm just asking them, just saying to them, hey, you know, do you actually think that you're doing something good? I mean, you know, sure, I'm sure some of the things that you are doing are good things, but, you know, when you're running me in, because I'm talking to people, or I'm disagreeing with someone, or I'm trying to speak my mind in a public forum, you know, is that a good thing? Yeah. Like, even the guy who saw me the other day, you know, and he pulled me up in my car and he tried to give me, you know, a big lecture about how he was doing me a favour by giving me opportunity to go in and get a licence. And I was telling him, you know, I'm not interested in doing that. You know, I'd rather go and battle it out in court. He already knew who I was. He goes, oh, you can't go to court, Peter. You know, what a joke. And have
don't
a good
you just love them. These people? They're just basically sick, sociopathic scum. And I don't know about you, but I have a really, really short fuse. I can get really, really angry very super quickly, and police corruption and being shoved around by these cops and stuff like that for absolutely no reason is the thing that makes me most angry most fast, you know? But the fact is, you can't do anything to these people, okay? If they assault you and you defend yourself, they'll throw you in jail, right? It's completely unfair. The day that I feel free is the day that a cop physically assaults me and I haymaker him and knock him out, and have absolutely zero repercussions from the law. That will be the day that I believe that I'm free. If they break the law by assaulting me, I can then defend myself and get away with it. That, I think, is proper justice for all.
Well, the thing is that, you know, that they're under an illusion too, eh? You know, there used to be what was called a policeman, and he was like, you know, an envoy of the Queen or the Crown, if you want, and it was his job to keep the Queen's peace and make sure that everyone else did. And then along came the police officer, who was like an enforcement-related person who was there to enforce the policies of the Reserve Bank. So, yeah, you know, that's the problem, is that they actually fully think that they have every right to treat us that way, that they can, they're allowed to, because their policies say that they are. And the truth
some
is
of them do anyway. I mean, I've met so many really nice, really cool, friendly cops who have actually had extended conversations with, and I would never, ever, ever attack one of them. Okay. Well, But the fact is, some of them are so corrupt that they feel that they can attack me.
Well, that's what happens to me. You know, like I'm a person, I bring the love, mate. This is what it's all about. It's, you can't fight the world, okay? You have to change it. So you, it's all about love. If I get really angry with a police officer, I start calling him sir. You know, that's what I do. But, you know, more often than not...
Is that short for servile?
No, sir's the lowest rank, isn't it, in the Navy, mister. I just call them that because I'm trying to show them whatever respect I can, but it almost invariably ends up with, you know, me on the ground, face down with them with a knee in the back of the head, you know, and it's just because I cannot just lie down. I won't fight them, but I won't just lie down and let them do it anymore. Yeah. Anyway, we need a lot of support, Wakamininga and my free man group, you know, and like if anybody would like to, you know, help us out in any way whatsoever, they can contact me on hamilton.wireless@gmail.com, and otherwise I'll give you my phone number, which is probably not a common thing, but anyway, +64 22 623 2034. We'd really love to hear.
Can you repeat that a lot slower as well? Because everybody out there with a pen and paper or a text file or something like that, just write down this number.
Okay, +64 22 623 2034 and hamilton.wireless@gmail.com. And like, we're just interested in, you know, who he is and, you know, educational things about this sort of thing and meeting like-minded people and really, you know, trying to bring back some, I don't know, goodwill and love in the world. I mean, you know, the thing is that money, which is the tool that the people use to create the illusion, gives us a false sense of security that we can survive on our own. You know, as soon as money's gone, we all have to rely on each other again, and that's actually the truth of it. You know, what binds humanity together is not actually societal holograms or financial systems. It's actually the fact that we're all human beings, and, you know, we are all one type of creature, and we should really be helping out each other. You know, competition will destroy the world. Cooperation is what will build it, you know?
Well, and indeed, cooperation is actually a more efficient business model. There was a test done with a bunch of people were driving trucks down these particular roads. Like, there's a long route and a short route, but the short route's got a gate at the front and the back. And they had this thing, like two companies, you've got to try and make the most money, but one would control one gate, one would control the other, and they weren't really making a terribly large amount of money unless they worked together. And it just goes to show you, man, that if you're trying to compete with another person, your propensity is to actually try and sabotage the business interests of that other person. If you're collaborating with other people, both of your shared objectives becomes to help each other be better in business.
That's right, eh? And there's no reason why you can't have a win-win situation instead of a win-lose one, mate, you know? That's the thing about it, is that we always think that, you know, everybody thinks that competition is healthy, and it's because what's happened is the people that seek to, you know, keep us under an illusion, what they've done is they've supplanted incorrectly a natural system, you know, the fittest survival system that applies in nature. No way does it apply to human systems in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, when you try and apply it to, you know, business or anything else and create this competition like, you know, clawing and struggling to get to the top and the fittest will survive, what you do is you just end up eliminating all the really good ideas and anything that doesn't just effectively work commercially.
Yeah. Stop fighting against each other. Start fighting alongside one another. I think that's the best. That's the best, really, thing we can do. And I may not be trying to, you know, do the free man thing and get out of the system or whatever. I've chosen to make sure that people find out that it is going on instead.
That's right.
And, so, you know, that's my role as an individual. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, Peter. Thank you very much for yours.
Yeah, no problem, man. Anytime.
Keep up the good fight, my friend. All right, we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.